Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3-Point Perspective, the podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. All three of us are professional illustrators, and we've been working for about the last 25 years, and we've worked with just about every major publisher in the business, and we've published together somewhere around 50 books total, and we've all taught illustration
at the university level. I want to get an actual number. We should.
I think it's way more than 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if we added them up, because just mine's like 26.
And I've got like 30, so there you go.
Jake hasn't done
it. Does that count self-published? Do self-published books count?
No. What? Yeah, sure. Okay, yes.
If you made money on them, it does.
If you sold one to your neighbor, it counts.
Yeah.
Listen, check this out. Just real quick, I've done 4 drawings books. I've just sold out of drawings 1, drawings 2, and drawings 3. I just sold out of drawings 3, so that means I've sold out of the first 3. They each had a print run of 2,000, so I've sold 6,000 books.
That's pretty good.
At $25 a pop.
Now that doesn't count.
I'm not complaining.
It doesn't count. Each week we're going to come at you guys with a different topic. Sometimes we're going to agree, sometimes we're going to argue, but each time you're going to learn something extremely valuable.
Okay, well, before we get into today's topic, I just want to know what you guys have been working on, what's on your plate, and how that's going. So, Will, you've got this book you've been working on.
Yeah, secret project, and yeah.
Can you say any more about it today?
No, can't.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it at that. Lee, what's going on with you?
I'm just getting into final art on a children's book and having a blast with that. And I've got a new book, a young adult novel that's about 23-24 interior illustrations plus a cover that I've started on. And I'm putting together work for a gallery show in October here in Nashville. If anybody's around, you guys should come say hi. It's a three-day show.
3-day show. How many pieces for it?
I want to do 20.
Okay. And they're all like original pieces.
Original pieces, yep.
That's cool. Like oil paints or watercolors.
These are going to be mixed media, so they're going to be acrylic and oil and roofing tar.
For real?
Yeah.
All right.
You got to be watching him on YouTube to know that he's full of it right now.
No, it's totally true. It's true.
What's the roofing tar for? What are you doing with the roofing tar?
You're going to have to check out my new YouTube channel pretty soon to see what I'm doing with that.
You just started a YouTube channel?
Roofing company. Yes, I've talked to Will about it. I'm getting into finally getting around to doing what you guys did years ago, which is make a YouTube channel that shows all the stuff that goes along with just being a professional artist in the capacity of doing gallery shows and illustrations. So I'm going to be talking about techniques and materials, because I use a lot of random stuff and I research all that stuff extensively. And so I was talking to somebody, another illustrator this week, and I've gone over all these different materials and how they work. And they're like, oh my gosh, you should put that in some kind of YouTube video. I'm like, man, I know I've got a ton of those stuff from watercolors and acrylics and oils. I mean, I've worked in all those mediums. And so, yeah, so I'm going to hopefully get that done.
That's super cool. You're gonna take YouTube by storm. They're gonna love you.
I don't know. My 5 followers are gonna love it.
No, you'd be surprised at if you start posting like really good videos consistently. You'd be surprised how fast that your audience can grow on YouTube. So this will be fun to watch.
Yeah. See,
sure.
Looking forward.
I want to get back to doing that. Like, I just have filled my schedule up so much that I don't have time each week to do a video. Can't do everything.
Yeah.
That's my goal for 2020, though, is to get
back to do everything.
Like, do everything.
No, to say no to two things. I usually have 5 things on my plate. Uh-huh. I want to have 3 things on my plate.
I want to do 2. I typically think, I was talking to Will about this earlier, like I always think I have 3 things, a gallery life and an illustration stuff and teaching. And I always say that you can pick 2 of those things, but you can't do 3. Really well, but I'm actually doing 3 right now, and it's painful.
Yeah,
but fun.
All right. Well, what's the topic today?
The topic today, we'll see. I don't know how long this one's going to be. We'll see. Most of the time, we go around an hour, but this one, I don't know how long we'll go. But a lot of our students, you know, we talk each week a lot about when you leave college, and that tends to be the focus of a lot of our podcasts. But I wanted to talk today a little bit about the other side of our audience, which is maybe transitioning from another career into illustration. Maybe they're already in a job, they're already in, you know, maybe a full career, maybe it's more than just a job, and what that looks like for somebody moving over to illustration, you know, not straight out of school.
Cool. All right. So let's do this.
Let's do it. Okay. So I got some notes for you guys, but feel free to ad lib. Like I said, I don't know how long this one's going to be. It overlaps a little bit, which I guess I should do a little disclaimer. We did our first podcast that we ever did, Am I Too Old to Become an Illustrator? I can't remember the actual title, but something like that. There's a little bit of overlap in this one because we are, it's kind of inherent that people are a little older when they're transitioning from a career. So there's a little bit of overlap. But in that, if you haven't heard that podcast before, check it out. But we talk more about how to become an illustrator just in general, just the general idea of like, okay, you should do all these drawings every day, you know, just the general job of being an illustrator and how to get into it. But I want to talk about just kind of the step-by-step of what it means to transition from somebody and what's the problem that somebody might have transitioning from another career. So my first question for you guys is, what's the major differences between somebody transitioning from another career versus somebody that's just starting out, just, you know, right out of school? Is there any big differences you guys can think of? And what do you think?
Well, I think what we have here is you have Will Terry, who went straight from school into an illustration career. And you have me, who I went from an animation career, like showing up to work every day, to an illustration career. Like sort of, I mean, that could be, that's such a broad term, like illustration career, because that could mean anything from, you know, drawing comic books to drawing children's books,
tattoo artists
to like doing, what was it that we just did the video for, like licensing art, you know, creating patterns and designs for, that could go on a myriad of objects.
Bedspreads, shower curtains, decorative bags. Exactly. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, what's the difference between basically working for yourself, and I mean that by taking, you're in charge of the work that's on your plate, versus working for a company that's in charge of the work that's on your plate, right?
Sort of.
That's how you want to define it?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, are you talking about like your transition to illustrator was directly from an art related field? I mean, which is a subset of our audience, I think. But I think most people are coming from something that's completely not art related.
Yeah, I understand that, but the illustration world doesn't care what your day job is. They just want to know that you can deliver what it is you can deliver. So yes, I transitioned from one art career to another art career, but and one of those helped me in the other one, but I don't think like I could have been doing, you know, 100 different jobs than just animation and still made that transition because of the way that I did things.
Sure. I think one of the biggest advantages that people who are transitioning from another career into illustration, whichever avenue you're going to go into, whether it's licensing or publishing or whatever. I think one thing that people coming over from another job have the benefit of is experience. And that experience is multifaceted, from organizing your day and time, knowing how, having a work ethic that you may not have had in just out of school, but also learning how to work with other people. That's kind of a huge deal. And if you work in an office, there is such a skill set that goes along with it. And so I think sometimes you forget about that if you're in it day in and day out, that you're navigating personalities and like, oh, I don't want to turn this into my boss at the end of the day because they're always grumpy at the end of the day. So I'll turn it in the morning. And like, there's all this kind of jockeying in an office job that I think benefits you as a, you know, as somebody transitioning that somebody straight out of school may not have.
If you take someone, the artist, and we'll put this in the show notes, Janie Ho, the children's book illustrator. You guys know her?
I know the name. I can't think of the word.
Yeah. The name sounds familiar.
She used to be an art director, I believe, at Scholastic. And now she's a freelance children's book illustrator. And I can't imagine the amazing education you would get from working, you know, as the art director, receiving illustration to be able and using it and using it in the products and being in all the meetings and seeing the behind the scenes to where I bet that's really helped her know how to create, you know, her books and stuff so that it really fits into the different needs that the publisher has, you know?
Right. She can see the applications really quickly.
Right.
And she knows what turned her off as an art director and what kind of got her excited as an art director. Yeah, that's really interesting. I want to say this too, working an actual day job where you have to report to someone and you're in charge of specific responsibilities, that's really good for teaching you how to meet deadlines, how to show up on time, how to, just do email, right? How to make your inbox work. And all those things are good. But what's funny is since I've been working independently, I've actually hired on assistants and had people working with me, I've realized I would actually be a much better employee today than I was back then, because I understand, what it's like to sort of run a business. There's an entrepreneurial aspect to living a life as an independent creator. And there's a lot of things where I'm like, holy cow, I wasted a lot of my employer's time before that. I didn't realize I was doing, a lot of spinning my wheels, a lot of time spent in meetings that didn't need to be spent in meetings and things like that. So it's funny how I think there's just this evolution where you're going to learn something working at your day job. You're going to learn something also working independently. And there's always things to learn and ways to get better and improve what you're doing.
Right. One of the things I want to talk about, one con that is different from from somebody transitioning from another job versus a student is students have the luxury of a lot of time to create artwork, and they got a lot of time to mess around with technique. They just have a lot of time on their hands. Whereas most of the time people transitioning from another career have much less time. So your time is going to be really important in how you, what you dedicate time to and how you focus it. At least that's my experience. You guys agree with that? That most of the time, if you have a full-time job, your time is limited versus being a student. Would you say that's accurate?
However, if you want something done, give it to a busy person, right?
It's true. It's true.
So the problem with students are, and if you're a student, I love you, but you don't realize how much time you have until you don't have time. And then you look back and say, oh my gosh, I could have gotten so much more done.
I used to think that when I was teaching full-time in Portland, I would just see these students who have 4 classes per week and that's their responsibility. And I was just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I would give anything to be able to work on these projects for this long.
when I would teach at UVU, I would explain all the time. This was when I was doing a lot more freelance than I am now. My time is divided up and I feel like I have a better work-life balance now. But back in the day, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I would just share with my students, this is what's on my plate. So when I ask you to do one illustration and have it ready and done in 2 weeks, I could do your assignment, five different times and get 5 different options in those 2 weeks. Right. And I get it. You have other classes, but I have other clients and I have other jobs too. Every day I'm doing, and it's about sacrifice.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But also when you're in your younger, early 20s, there's also, you don't want to be working all the time. There's some life to be living.
That's true.
And I don't blame it for that. That's when I found my wife and we dated and we got married and there was just a lot of I couldn't be working all the time because there were some life things that I wanted to take care of too. But that said, I also didn't have to deal with Netflix always calling me.
Yeah.
To watch
or Overwatch.
Games. Yeah, Overwatch always calling me to watch.
Social media, like, all that stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot, I feel like there are a lot more things that can pull you away from some of the stuff you have to focus on.
Yeah.
In order to find like that success. But yeah. I don't knock anybody for trying to, from the get-go, trying to have work-life balance.
Yeah, no, you should have work-life balance, but I'm just saying, somebody transitioning, if you still have the full-time job, it's going to be rough. You just have to prepare your family and prepare mm-hmm. your friends for this transition, because there's just only so many hours in the day. If you're working a full-time job and trying to do these images at night or work on the weekend, you're going to have to do that. I mean, unless you have the job like a parking lot attendant, or like my dream job is the little kiosk in the Big Sur State Park, where people just come and pay, and you're just there. I always dream about having that job whenever I hate illustration.
Because you can draw and stuff while you're doing
it. Yeah,
that.
You just draw, and people drive by, and you just wish them, you know, a good day, and they go on a hike or whatever. So maybe you have a job where you can make artwork. So anyway, everybody's different there, but just something to notice. So if you're transitioning, you have more experience, more life experience, and that's really valuable. You need to lean into that, but you might have less time, so you got to be organized. I wanted to ask you guys, or I guess I'll bring this up. I'm going to make a hypothetical person. They're sitting in an office job, a generic office job, and they're working, you know, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. And they are sitting there, they're pondering whether they want to change or not, and they're you know, hitting message boards, or maybe they're on the SVS forums saying, hey, I'm going to make a career change. I want to talk to that person specifically. So they're not coming from an art field, so it might be something totally brand new. I wanted to kind of guide that transition a little bit. And my first question to that person who's wondering if they should quit and do this is, do you really need to quit? And if you do, there's a process, I guess, involved in that. The first thing I want to bring up with that is most illustrators that I know of have a side job anyway. So like, I think a lot of people, when they're working in offices, they have this idealized version of what an illustrator actually is. That idealized version, say you're going to be a children's book illustrator, because that speaks to what us, all three of us, do, that we're just sitting there drawing children's books all day. And that's not true. I only know a few people in publishing who make a full-time living at it. We've talked a little bit about that on the show before. Most people do some side gig anyway. Some people have another job, even though we're pro illustrators all day. All three of us have taught. We started our school for a reason. Most of the people that I know, they do something else. They teach. They do Comic Cons or conventions or art fairs.
Or they have a spouse that works.
Wealthy spouse. That's a bonus, by the way. If you got the wealthy spouse, that gets you off the hook of a lot of things. Life is a lot different for that person. So we're not really talking to that person per se. Just consider yourself very lucky. But I guess my question is, yeah. do you need to make illustration your career? Because if you do, you're still going to probably have some other side job anyway.
I have an answer for that. Go ahead, Jake.
I think by side job, another way to call it is multiple revenue streams, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be like you're employed with someone, but
right.
It's, for me, I have an online shop that brings in revenue. I have affiliate marketing that brings in revenue. I have SVS, so teaching classes, that brings in revenue. And then I have sponsorships that bring in revenue, and then I have illustration and the freelance work. I sometimes lump those together. So some illustration is you know, my name is on a book, I'm the illustrator of that book, and that's like an illustration job. But sometimes it's like concept art. A company will hire me for, you know, 2 weeks to do concept art, and you know, my name's not going to show up on anything, and even those designs might not be the final designs they go with, but I look at that as sort of doing art for a living. And so it's like all these things put them together and it's a living. It supports me. It supports my family. It pays for the insurance. It pays the mortgage, stuff like that. So that is, that's the way I look at it. I can, like you're saying, I can only think of a handful of people who have one revenue stream through illustration.
That's right.
You know, just a small handful. So, and even them, they're still like supplementing it with, you know, they're going to go do 100 school visits.
That's a good point. That's exactly what I was going to say is, you know, like Dan Santak comes to mind or Peter Brown, like those guys, you know, Caldecott winning illustrators, that typically starts to lean you towards having one revenue stream, but they do. They're traveling a lot. They're promoting the book. It's not just sitting down and illustrating, which the thing I want to emphasize there is that's the fun part. And like when I get to sit down and illustrate, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in so long because I've been emailing and doing all the other stuff, making videos, you know, for teaching and whatever, critiques, all that stuff. And it's just not every day. I just want to warn you not to idealize. If you're sitting in the office and like, man, I'm going to quit this. This sucks. It would be better if I was just a book illustrator.
Right.
That you're sort of idealizing. Go ahead, Will.
The other thing with that is that sometimes when you achieve the dream that you had in your head, you find out that that's not your dream anymore. You know, like, so for me, I found that I was illustrating too much. I just found like I was, you know, and this was like 10 years ago. That's all I did from morning till night. And I was yearning for more. I was yearning for more social interaction. That's what I got with you guys, with that, you know, having the office and everything. And I wanted a different, I found that, okay, I can do that too much. I had a student one time who he was a manager. I don't think he was the head store manager, but I think he was the assistant manager for Home Depot. And he was going to school. He was in my class. And he was just, when he was a senior, he's like, okay, so I'm at a crossroads. When should I quit my job? You know, when do I end this thing? And I'm like, so what do you do? I didn't know. I had no idea that he was the, you know, assistant manager for a Home Depot. And he tells me, and I'm like, well, do you make good money? You know? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, so what does it look like? And he's like, well, I'm on track to be a store manager, and that'll probably happen within a couple of years. I'm like, well, what kind of money do you make there? And it's like well over six figures, you know? And nice. So I'm like, do you hate your job? And he's like, no, I love it. So I'm like, if you love it, if you really want to be an illustrator also, then I would work on your own projects. You have enough money to take care of your family. You know, he's married, he's got kids. You know, I would keep things, the wheels on, keep things going the way they're going, and then just use illustration as fun. Maybe work on a project, maybe, over several, two or three years, really develop your craft to a point where you can take that and do a project that is much bigger that you might, you know, crowdfund or something like that. But you're in a position where you don't have to be hired as an illustrator. You could let your projects, the success of your projects, then sharing them on social media, create kind of a freelance clientele from them seeing your project if it's really good. If it's not, you still have your Home Depot job. If it bombs, you know, you're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I mean, like, you're in the safe place right now. I wouldn't just quit that. And
yeah, I mean, that's kind of the Yuko Shimizu, if you guys know her, fantastic illustrator. Mm-hmm. She worked corporate job forever, even while she was an illustrator. She was still working the corporate job, if I know the story correctly. And she was already winning awards from the Society of Illustrators before she left the corporate thing. And I agree with Will. Like, sometimes the biggest satisfaction comes from these personal-driven projects. If you, you know, quit your job and all of a sudden, you know, cold turkey, just quit the job and now you're an illustrator, man, there's a whole set of stresses that are coming your way that will take away some of the enjoyment that you might think is just inherent with our jobs. Again, don't idealize that whole thing. And the pressure to be a pro and to make money will also change the nature of it. I mean, anybody says that, if like people who are into sports and whatever, the second you become a pro, the whole thing typically changes in the whole dynamic of how much you have to do. Like Will said, he was getting sick of being an illustrator. You know, I always use the analogy of, I like to use sports as an analogy. And like, so somebody who enjoys tennis on the weekend, You know, they go and just playing tennis is so fun. The ball flies over the fence. Who cares? You know, you're just playing with your friends. And then you say, mm-hmm. I like this. I'm going to study. So you start training with a coach. It's a little more serious, but you're still having fun with it. And then you say, okay, I'm going to start competing. Well, now you got to start putting in real practice, even when you don't want to play tennis anymore. And then you're more serious about it. The enjoyment factor is probably going to go down a little bit because you have to do it. And then the second you say, okay, I'm going to make my living as a tennis player. Well, oh my God, you know, you're having to practice at such a different level and you have to win. Like, that's the thing is when you're a pro illustrator, you have to win these jobs. Like, you can't just draw for, you know, just draw whatever and hope it sells. Like, the pro part of it is you're being hired. Mm-hmm. So there's, I don't know, there's just a whole kind of stress that comes with that. So I guess the first question, if you're sitting there in your office saying, I'm going to quit or should I quit right now? The biggest question is, do you need to quit? I mean, maybe you look at your life in a little bit different light, like Will was saying with the Home Depot guy, and that could, change your focus.
Take Matthew Inman, the guy that created the oatmeal. So he was a student. I think he was an accounting major, if I can remember correctly. And the oatmeal is a webcomic, if you haven't seen it. I bet you've seen some of them, you know, posted on various social media because it's everywhere. But he's the guy that did the Exploding Kittens card game that
made
$8.7 million. But before he did that, his online shop for his webcomic was making somewhere around $500,000 a year. And it forced him to stop being a student. You know, like, he's like, what am I doing? So, and that's not, obviously that's not going to happen for everybody. But he worked on a personal project for fun. And it took him away from his other life, you know, and I like that.
I think what his story wasn't accounting. He was like in online marketing and
same thing.
He was building these websites and using all these like sneaky marketing tools to like get people to click on websites and do that kind of stuff. And he's like, well, I could do this for comics and I, you know, I'm kind of funny. I got some ideas. And so he applied all that to his website, the oatmeal, and that's when, you know, things started going really well for him. I just want to add too, thinking about transitioning, if you're going to go independent, be your own boss, be your own, you know, have an illustration career, you got to think about replacing not just the money that you're making at your day job, but you're going to have to cover your own health benefits. You're going to have to save out for your own retirement and the companies, if they're matching, you know, you got to take that into a factor. So just thinking, oh, I make, you know, $75,000 at this day job or $50,000 at this day job, and I got to get $50,000 worth of illustration jobs coming in to replace that. Well, no, there's also, you know, if they're paying for any sort of health benefits, that's going to be something that comes straight out of your pocket as well. And any of those other like little things, benefits that come with the job, that's not going
to
be replaced.
Well, not to mention the 15% self-employment tax. If you aren't familiar with that, it comes up real quick.
Yeah.
Right. So not to say it's still not worth it. Like,
it is worth it. Yeah.
Like, come on. I mean,
totally worth it.
How many of you guys have worried about vacation days this year? Like, if you've used up all your vacation days, not once, right? Like, I can't, I remember when that was like a factor, like I got 2 weeks of vacation this year. How am I going to spend them? Because we've got to do a family vacation, but then I need time off to, you know, do this other thing and oops, they're all used up. Now I can't, you know, I can't take a day off if I need to for whatever reason without, you know, loss of pay. And that's just something that I don't even think about anymore.
Right. You know, right.
It's like, do we have enough money in the bank account? Are these jobs coming in? Do I have 3 weeks free? Let's go on vacation. Yeah. You know,
3 weeks.
But I should add that going on vacation as a freelancer is a different experience as well. It's a little more stressful in a way that right. being on vacation for my job.
You're worried about the jobs that are gonna pass you by, and then those factor in to the cost. But Jake, I'm interested. 3 weeks? That's you get 3 weeks for vacation?
Shoot.
He gets 3 months.
I mean, that's 3 weeks at a time. No, I think the longest vacation I took was like 5 weeks, but I still, here's the thing though. I brought my Cintiq and my laptop with me, and every day for like two or three of those weeks, I still like worked for 3 hours every morning. But then the afternoon, it was like,
that's kind of like having the perfect work-life balance, right? Just go on location somewhere and just.
I always bring my stuff to work and then I never do any work. And then I wonder why at the end, why my shoulder's hurting because I'm carrying around a full-size Cintiq. I just need to leave it at home. Now I'm starting to learn that a little better. My last trip that I just took to Portland, I didn't even take my laptop. I just took my iPad. So I've learned that. But okay, so say you're sitting, you're that person and you're in your office and you're like, yeah, I hear what these guys are saying, but I still want to jump because I don't want to discourage you guys. It's great being an illustrator. We're not trying to poo-poo it all. So you're saying, hey, I want to do it. I want to talk about the process of how to go about that. And the big first thing that I want to throw out there, and you guys feel free to disagree with this, is start your transition slowly. You know, everybody, when they get ready for a big change, there's all these quotes, you know, like that they're on posters, like the kitten hanging there. There's the, you can't jump the Grand Canyon in multiple steps or something. So you got to go big. In this case, you go small. Go small. Don't jump the Grand Canyon. There was somebody on our forum a couple weeks ago that says, you know, I'm thinking about leaving and I'm going to quit. And they would literally had their line in the sand. They're going to quit and they're going to become an illustrator. And the process of becoming an illustrator is a slow, and I think it's an evolution of a couple of years. Maybe not that long, but I would, if you have a 2 year out, that's what I would look at. The first year, I would work on just entering the field while you're the full-time employee. Start to do the stuff that we talked about on other podcasts, like get your portfolio together and listen to that first episode that we have about becoming an illustrator and are you too old to be an illustrator. There's a lot of tips on building up a portfolio. And but you know, first step is start to get the work in order, start to enter contests, and start to get some kind of traction, I guess, as an illustrator while you're still full-time with the goal, and again, each of these are kind of incremental, the goal of becoming part-time. That's like the golden ticket, in my opinion, is to transition, is reducing your full-time job to a part-time job and then having the segue of trying to get into illustration.
That's actually what I did. So Jake, you know, in the beginning, he said that I went straight from school, but I actually had a graphic design job that was full time, but I didn't do it full time for very long. And then I asked if I could, and they were really flexible. I asked if I could come in 3 days a week. So 2 days a week, I was taking my portfolio and showing it around. This was pre internet, you know? And that really helped to have those days that I could just either work on artwork or, you know, market, you know, prospect for new clients. That was huge. It'd be very difficult to do that with a full-time job, but with a full-time job, you could work on a project every weekend. You know, you could switch gears and.
Yeah, it's going to be slower if you got the full-time job, but if you can swing it, so you start doing the work and getting your portfolio together, but then you also look at, I always talk about lowering your expenses. I mean, it's dumb, again, a dumb saying that a penny saved is a penny earned, but it's a lot easier to save money than it is to make money. And so if you can start cutting your costs, I was actually looking at a service today. What's the name of it? I think it's called Truebill.com or something like that. And you enter in your bank data, if you're comfortable with that kind of thing. And then they go through all of your expenses and say, hey, you're spending this much on subscriptions every month. And you don't realize how much that little stuff, $8 a month, $20 a month, all these little things, HBO, like we sign up for HBO every time. And I'm like, I'm going to bail out of it after 1 month. And I always forget. It's like a 6 month purchase for me to watch like one show. So you don't realize how much all that stuff adds up. But the ability to go part-time has to do with the ability to control your expenses. Those two are very, very directly related.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I talk a little bit about my sort of my transition
into
this full-time thing?
Sure.
So I was working at an animation studio, but my animation portfolio is not necessarily the illustration portfolio that an art director wants to see. So that meant spending time creating illustrations that I knew would impress art directors. And you know, they don't want to see that I could do like concept art. They want to see, does this illustration look like something that can exist in a children's
book? Are you telling a story?
am I telling a story? You know, is the style or the materials I've used something that's appealing to that world? Because a lot of times concept art can be too polished. It could be too like nice looking to be accessible for kids sometimes, right? And so what I was doing was for several years, I would take a couple months out of the year for like my nighttime and weekend time that I had extra, and I would make a comic story, like a short 20-15 page comic story. And I was experimenting with different styles. So it wasn't just like drawing comics, it was illustrating comics, mm-hmm. right? And that, working on that led to getting my first illustration job for a comic book, right? For an actual graphic novel deal. And so I got a 2-book deal, and it was, I think it was $80,000 for 2 books. And at the time I was working at this animation studio, and I was like, that did not replace my income, because it was going to take 2 years to finish 2 books, 1 year per book. And that did not replace the income I was making at the animation studio. So I talked with my wife. I said, here, this is like a really good opportunity for A, some extra money, but B, to start establishing myself as someone who works in publishing, right? And so I said, it's going to take a lot of extra time. It's going to take nights and weekends. And are you cool with me doing this? And I'll see you. I'll take 1 day off a week, but the rest of the time I'm going to be gone doing this stuff. And she's like, yeah, go for it. And so for 2 years, every night I worked on this. Every Saturday I worked on this. I took Sundays off and just spent that like recuperating and resting and reconnecting with the family. And then every day it was off to work again for full-time gig at the animation studio, and then coming home at night, eating dinner, and then working on these books. And what that did was it led me to another book deal, which was another children's book, an actual children's book. And I knew that if I was really going to make a go at this, I couldn't do like the 40-hour week job. So I found a job teaching at BYU, which was off in Utah, which had a much lower cost of living. So we moved there. We got a house that was half, you know, we were paying rent in Connecticut, and our mortgage payment was half what our rent was in Connecticut. So our living expenses went down. And by working at the school, it gave me a full Friday off of work and like half days, 2 days of the week. So I had extra time to work on my illustration career while still making a living, while lowering my expenses. And so I still did that, but still I wasn't ready to like make that jump fully. And so I got another, it was a job doing like concept art. And while I was working there, I did the job in like 20 hours, even though I was hired on for 40 hours a week.
Nice.
But I was giving everything that they needed in 20 hours. So I was busted my butt and working harder, doing whatever. And then I was spending the rest of that time, again, working on another children's book, another Kickstarter. And it wasn't until I had done this for maybe, I'd been doing this thing where I was working full-time as an illustrator and working full-time at a day job and like doing those things at the same time. So it was like 4 years of that before I felt like I was finally ready to transition to being full-time, like independent illustrator.
And then even then, you still had, like you said earlier, multiple revenue streams that you had started to build up. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think everybody kind of has that similar kind of story. When I was in Portland, for 10 years, I didn't even think about this as being a part-time job, but I was teaching full-time, teaching concept art, which is separate from what I was doing as an illustrator. So I did the same thing, and I kept it long-term. So I was one of those people that, and it depending on what your part-time job is, maybe you stay there. Like I could have been a full-time teacher and done books on the side and been totally happy and never left. So, you know, you just got to figure out, like, it was beneficial because I got all the insurance and all the vacation pay and all that. But then I also got months off. Like, being a teacher is a sweet part-time job, whether it's teaching art like we did at the university level, or if you're teaching high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of my friends that just started teaching Spanish in San Francisco, and he just had the whole summer off. It's fantastic. So the teacher is a great kind of side gig to, and you don't even have to bail from it if you don't want to. The only reason I really left was because our school shuttered because they opened up too much, too many schools and stuff. And so they killed the golden goose, but it was fun. Right. It was a lot of fun.
So to that point, I would say, okay, start working on your illustration career. And when that work is coming in, but it still isn't enough to like cover everything, but you still need extra time, maybe you could quit your day job and go get another job that is less hours.
Right.
So you're still supplementing. I think the big thing here is jumping into this illustration career is risky in and of itself, just because there's an ebb and flow to the work that you get. And so you're already taking that risk. You don't want to amplify the risk by just cutting your job. fully cutting your job. Like, you could be risky in your career decision to go in that direction, but don't be risky in like getting rid of your I don't want to call it a safety net, but like your, you know, just your financial base, I would say. So unless you are totally fine living like a bohemian lifestyle, you don't have any dependents, and you're just going to give it a go, heck yeah, like go for it.
Yeah.
But I think we're talking to like people who, you know, may have a spouse or a kid or two, and they are providing, you know, to that household income. You do want to be responsible and don't do anything like super rash.
Yep. Exactly. There's something else I was going to say there, but I lost my place on my notes. Will, you haven't chimed in a while. What do you think?
I mean, I agree. I'm just listening. I'm like, everything Jake said, I'm good.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. One thing you need to do is, so like we've been talking about, travel slowly, make sure your safety net is good. The other thing is having a good plan in place. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast and in my business class that I have at svslearn.com. Most illustrators have no business plan at all whatsoever. And I'll try to put at least a good basic one together that you guys can fill out, and I'll put it in the show notes here. So you can just check it out, but you should have a plan, some kind of plan, because once you start getting into the questions, how are you going to do marketing? How are people going to find out about you as an illustrator? Oh, well, if you're going to send out postcards, who are you going to send them to? Where are you going to get that mailing list? There's all these like little things that start to pop in when you start to think about a one-year plan, a three-year plan, five-year plan. That's kind of the three areas that I recommend.
And those questions that you have unanswered are paralyzing. So you need to do your homework, and starting with the business plan is a great idea because of that. What you don't know is going to stop you from even trying. And I've met so many artists that they want to do art professionally. They have no idea how anybody gets any freelance jobs at all. You know? So if you just have the knowledge of just knowing, I would assume that people are listening to our podcast have a huge leg up on that if they've listened to all of them, because that's what we talk about, you know, is the life of a professional illustrator. But yeah.
If you guys haven't heard the video, the business videos I have on svslearn.com, there's three of them. And the first one, I want to recommend you guys go check it out if you're a member of svslearn.com. Check the first one out because I talk about how people get paid in the different segments of illustration, wherever you are. If you're doing concept art, if you're doing publishing, if you want to be a gallery artist, there's a lot of little idiosyncrasies that you might not know. For example, if you want to do gallery art and you want to get paid, guess what? You get the gallery takes 50% right off the top. And guess what? You provide also all the materials for the paintings. And guess what? You're also responsible for mailing those paintings to the gallery if you don't live in the same city as the gallery.
And framing them,
which is a massive cost. That's what I've been actually doing research for the past 3 weeks on, is how do you economically frame things professionally? So you've got to be high quality and low cost. Those two things don't normally go together. How does your industry work that you're going to go into? While you have the full-time job, you need to start researching kind of how these professions work. How are you going to fit within them, and how each industry gets paid, what the timeline is like. Like for us as children's book illustrators, and it can be a long time. The book I'm working on right now, I signed on for, it got delayed during this whole production process. I signed on for it a year and a half ago. I got my first payment, and my next payment comes at the end of my final paintings. So it's going to be 2 years between payments. And so if you quit your job where you're getting a biweekly payment and then you get a 2 year window to get paid, it's a lot different ball game and you need to be ready for that.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. If you're comfortable with a fluctuating paycheck, then this is the job for you. I just want to point out that there have been months where, you know, maybe a couple thousand dollars will come in. And it'll just barely, like, you know, if I was just relying on that, it would just barely, like, cover things. But because I know that things ebb and flow and there's this fluctuation, I plan ahead. And there's a month where I'll get $40,000 in a month. Everybody will pay me at the same time. I'll get, you know, I'll get, like, three publishers paying me, you know, overdue stuff. Or there'll be royalty checks or whatever. And then I'll know, okay, this isn't my paycheck. I'm not going to get this, you know, for the next 6 months. Things are going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit different. So I got to make sure that money is spread out evenly over a time period. So the best thing for you to do too is, you know, say you're doing all this illustration work on the side and you're starting to get jobs, but you still have your day job. Put all that money into savings and build up like a 6 month buffer that could just cover your bills if no checks were coming in for 6 months, that you'd be okay and you wouldn't have to like worry and stress about it. I would say that's like a huge check mark you're going to want to put on your to-do list for before you make
The crazy thing is everybody should be doing that, even if they're in a full-time job, because you never know when you're going to lose your job.
Got that right. Sure. Yeah, you really don't know. And that's actually a good point to bring up. A little bit off topic, but it's important. The Art Institute of Portland laid off, or the Art Institutes just in general, laid off 800 people at once with no warning. I had four classes with waiting lists, all four of them, full classes with waiting lists. And I was brought into the office the day before the term started in January, and laid off with four classes that are full with waiting lists. And I had years of waiting lists. So it wasn't like, crazy. I'm not doing my job right or something like that. I was doing it fine.
You don't know.
You don't know. And so that is absolutely terrifying. I would say what Jake said, the 6 month window, that is the absolute minimum. If you listen to Dave Ramsey, which I recommend everybody doing just for being financially responsible, if you're self-employed, you need to buffer that. If you're employed by somebody, I'd say have a 6 month buffer and start working towards that if you don't. But if you're self-employed, have a year, you need a year, and then also factor in startup costs. Because if you are transitioning to a new industry, you are going to have some kind of one-time, one-off purchases that need to be taken into account. So that's your safety, you know, zone, is having basically a year. And that way you can weather these big fluctuations of payment like Jake was just talking about.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. We're scaring everyone.
I know.
This is a terrifying experience.
Anybody who makes it through this podcast still wanting to like do it, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be the whole time you're like, heck yeah, I'm in for this. I want to do it. It's going to work out.
It's better that we're honest because you know, having good information, being armed with good information, is where you're going to make your best decisions. So yeah, it's good.
I got an email a couple of years ago, it was back in 2018, from a student, and he was debating whether or not to do an animation career or to be an illustrator, like an independent illustrator. And he's like, I don't know, which is better? What do I do? And I said to him, I love working as an independent illustrator. It's pretty much being like an entrepreneur, except your startup company is your illustration work and you are the only employee. You set your own schedule. You decide where you want to live. You decide how much vacation time you get. You decide what projects you want to work on and what you get to say no to. You decide what people you want to work with. You have to pay the entirety of your own health insurance. You bill people, and then you are in charge of following up with them, and you have to do all your promotion. And then I said to him, the more creative and smart you are in these areas, the more successful as an illustrator you're going to be. So on the one hand, it's just like the talent. Can you draw? Can you know? We're assuming that you've mastered your craft already. Like you could do illustration work. But the other side of it is setting a schedule, lining up work, going out and finding work, billing people once you're done, and like following up and making sure those bills are coming through from them. It's like all these different factors are coming into play, and that's, you know, that is for some people, and some people are like, nope, not for me. I just want to keep doing this for fun, you know, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that either. Like, go for it. You could find a lot of success if this is just like a side thing where, you know, you're doing, you know, one project every year, maybe, you know?
Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, it is definitely worth it, no matter where you're going to land on that spectrum. I wouldn't, with all the problems that we talked about and the difficulties, I wouldn't change a thing. Would you guys do anything different?
And you can't think like that, because everybody came into it in a different way. And if you change one little component, it could mess everything. I mean, there's so many ways to be successful in art.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So go be successful, make the transition, but do it in a smart way. That should wrap us up, Jake.
Hey guys, my headphones just stopped working, so I can't hear you anymore. So,
hey, can you see us?
So should we just wrap it up? Use hand signals. Okay. Sounds good. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. This has been 3-Point Perspective. It's made possible by svslearn.com. We're becoming a great illustrator starts. And your hosts have been Will Terry. You can find his work at Will Terry Art on Instagram. And you can follow him on YouTube. Just do a YouTube search for Will Terry. Lee White, you can find his work at Lee White Illo on Instagram. And he's going to be launching a YouTube channel pretty soon. So just Google Lee White on YouTube when that launches. And then I'm Jake Parker. You can find my work on Instagram at Jake Parker. And also I've got videos on YouTube as well. So there you go. Podcast is edited by Alex Sugg. And you can follow his work or find him to edit your podcast at alexsugg.com. That's 2 G's in Sugg. And the podcast is produced by Tanner Garlic. You can find him at tannergarlicart.com. He makes sure this podcast actually gets from us recording it to Alex, then from Alex's edit to uploaded onto the internet so that you can listen to it. And then he makes sure that it's also on svslearn.com, where you can, if you want, you can go through and listen to all the past episodes. And he also posts it on our forum. On svslearn.com, you can go on the forum and check out the thread that's devoted to this particular episode, and you can comment there and join the discussion that's happening over there. All right, that's it for today, everybody. Thank you, and we will see you next time.